Blog Talk Radio.
I've been quiet for way too long. I can't fight it no, no more. Got a story and it's time to tell. Cause I just can't keep it to myself. Somebody give me your microphone or a megaphone or a telephone.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the Seasons of Purpose broadcast, a ministry of New Season Church International. Ecclesiastes 3:1 states, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." We are your hosts, Pastors Jasper and Constance Whitehurst. Thank you for tuning in. And now let's begin our study in the all-sustaining Word of God.
Hallelujah.
It's a new season. It's a new day. Yeah, resting on you. I can feel it. It's flowing my way. Oh, oh, oh. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season, and it's coming to me. Or if you believe that, lift your hands and say,
it's a new season.
It's a new day.
I know who I am.
he's excellent. Yeah, all I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation. We're being called by the show. He's excellent.
We glorify your holy name, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you indeed are God, that there is none like you in all of heaven and earth. We praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity, Lord God, to come before you in the study of your word and the application of your holy word, Lord God. I ask your blessings upon everyone, every woman, every queen that's on this line tonight. Continue, Lord God, to just strengthen, keep, watch over, protect, and provide everything that she may need, Father God. Strengthen her as your daughter as she goes forth to carry out your will. Allow your word to abide within her, Father God, and your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, to abide within her, Lord God, that she may be able to continue to stand and with power. And we will forever give you all the praise, and we give you all the honor, and we give you all the glory. And it's just in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God for you ladies tuning in tonight. As I shared at the onset of the call, this is our Queen Talk radio broadcast, in which we set aside time for women to come together to talk about 21st century women's topics and women's issues from a biblical perspective. And tonight, the Holy Spirit has laid on our hearts to talk about our youth, a culture in spiritual crisis. See, we live in a culture right now where many no longer embrace biblical values. For some, this is a season actually of apostasy, where many are walking away from their faith and walking away from the church. So we ask ourselves, and that is young and old. Specifically, I want to talk tonight and ask the question, why are so many of our young people falling away from the church and abandoning their faith? So what are parents to do if this happens, or when this happens? And how are we also positioned as parents, and not only parents, but also parents and grandparents, great-grands, if you have them? We have a certain level of responsibility as believers to our children. And so we want to talk about that. How do you help them to be able to maintain their Christian faith and their biblical worldview, and to be able to live a successful Christian life in what I call the overlap of heaven and earth? So let's talk about that tonight. And I want you to join with me also in this discussion. You know, I began to prepare for this program. I began last night. I was watching the news, and actually, you know, it grieves my heart as I watch the evening news, and I tend to see story after story of young men and sometimes even young women who find themselves caught up in the clutches of criminal activity. And certainly as a pastor and then as a counselor, I often wonder as I look at these accounts through the news, that if we begin to just peel back the layers of some of these young people's lives, some that are in their late teens and early to mid-20s, and if we could just rewind back their early childhood and see into what type of environment that they have been raised in. Now, I'm aware that sometimes there are bad things that happen to good people. But as I look at the pictures and into the eyes of some of these young perpetrators, some of them, they look so cold. They look like they have no feeling. They're so dismal, some, and so dark. Many are products of their environment and casualties of bad choices and wrong decisions. Some actually have not even been given the opportunity to know Jesus Christ are be exposed to the truth of God's word. And these are lost souls whose lives would be changed and could be changed through the salvation in Jesus Christ. And yet tonight our discussion also centers around another group of young people. And we talked about those that have not been exposed to the truth of God's word. But what about those who have? Those who have been brought up in Christian homes, where the family has prayed daily and where the church is attended on a weekly basis and where parents have taught their young ones the word of God and have made a solemn commitment to live by the principles and precepts of the Holy Bible. Yet still, some of these same are leaving high school. Many that are going off to college or leaving home, they leave the church and they fall away from their faith. So it leads to tonight's question, why are so many young people falling away from their faith? Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, it talks about those who would depart from the faith in the latter days. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then Luke 18 and 13, it talks about the falling away as well. It says that they are on the rock, and they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and then have no root. While and for a time, intent fall away. Yeah, so you see, not every young person who starts out in church will stay in church. Many, as they grow older, they walk away from the church. And in a recent study done by the Barna Group, it was determined, listen to these percentages, that less than 1% of the young adult population in the United States has a biblical world view. And we're talking about young adults somewhere between the ages of like 18 to maybe 25 or 30 years old. Less than 1% of the young adult population in the United States has a biblical worldview. And a biblical worldview, it means that the Bible is completely inerrant. That means without fault, without falsities, that it is completely the true word of God. A biblical worldview also that Satan is a real being and not just a symbolic being. A biblical worldview that a person cannot earn their way into the kingdom of God simply by good works, but there's only one way to the Father, and that's through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ, a biblical worldview, means that they believe that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life here on earth. And a biblical worldview means that they believe that God is the supreme creator of heaven and earth and reigns over the whole universe today. Less than 1% of the young adult population believes that. Then Fuller Theological Seminary, it had additional information and statistics that I'd like to share. That young people have a home, that have a home or a place of faith where they can discuss their doubts and concerns regarding adulthood, that is a very important factor, that young people must have a place or a home where they can feel safe to discuss their doubts and concerns regarding their faith before adulthood, before leaving home, that they have to have that opportunity, because that also prepares them to be more equipped to share and stand on what they have been taught and their faith. The Fuller Theological Seminary also determined that most church youth groups, listen to this, most church youth groups simply provide a place for the youth to be entertained rather than to be taught the Word of God, thereby making them ill-equipped to handle the challenges to their faith once they leave home and go out into the world. If they've been in a church or a church youth group for, you know, most of their young teen life up until they become young adults, and all they're doing there is, you know, playing games and eating pizza and being entertained as opposed to being taught the Word of God, then when they get ready to leave and go out into the world, they're not prepared. One of the key reasons why it says nearly 75% of young adults fall away from their faith is because of what they call intellectual skepticism. That's just a fancy word for they get into the classroom and the professor tells them one thing and they learn something else through their faith and their belief through their parents at home. And then because they have not, again, not well equipped, they become doubtful. They become skeptical. That many of these same young people, they spend 30 hours per week in a secular classroom, and then they spend another 30 hours per week in front of a television or video game, in contrast to an average of 45 minutes per week studying the Bible. Now, think about that. You got 30 hours in the classroom, 30 hours playing video games and watching what is coming in through the media. That's 60 hours per week versus 45 minutes per week of Bible study or studying the Word of God. These are Christian households now. And therefore, when they go off to college and into a college setting or out into the world, period. And then when in a college setting where they have professors that are going to challenge their beliefs, they don't have a solid biblical foundation to stand on so that they can defend their faith. And that's some of the reason why, because of that, they're so easily influenced and drawn into the beliefs of the world system, and they begin to fall away. Also, research shares that the key factor in young people remaining faithful is the influence of their parents as a child. The key factor in young people remaining faithful is the influence that has. As the Word of God says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Has it been as for we and our houses that we serve the Lord? Because in that's one of the key factors that will determine whether or not our children will remain in the faith or whether or not they will be drawn out. Oh, God's word is always true. He said that we're to train up in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he shall go. And then it comes with a promise of God. But now remember, God is not sometimes, but he is always faithful to his promise. Train up a child in the way he should go. And here's the promise. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. No matter what it might look like. Hello? No matter what it may seem that that child is out there doing this and that and the other and everything that you're like, okay, that doesn't look like he's following the faith. But the word of God, if you as the parent has placed it on the inside of him or placed it on the inside of her and you've trained them up in the way that God said that they're supposed to go, God's word says that they will not depart from it. And then you also have the responsibility, the Lord said, of reminding him, oh, yes, we can, of his word. When you are praying for them, Father God, you said, you told me in your word in Proverbs 22:6 that no matter what, and I know I've trained them up. We studied the Bible together. I've planted the word on the inside of them. We've gone and did what I knew how to do to be able to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, Lord, I'm going to pray and I'm going to stand on your promises. I'm standing on your word regardless of what it might look like because, see, I don't operate by what it looks like, but I operate and I stand on my faith in God. Here we have it to show the importance of the parents' influence in the lives of their children and where their faith is concerned. It says, studies show that when both parents are faithful and actively involved in the church, 93% of children remain faithful. When one parent is actively involved and teaching and standing on the word of God, 73% of the children remain faithful. But it also shares that when neither parent was particularly active in church or, you know, they just kind of like, oh, yes, we're going to take you to church and, you know, drop you off. And, you know, home is not a reflection of what you've learned in church. Only 53% of the children remain faithful to what God, to the word of God, committed to their faith. That's a drop of 40% from those parents who together particularly raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So young adults, as we answer that question, why are our children, why is there a level of apostasy? Why are they leaving the faith? Young adults must be trained in the word of God to know how to fully respond to their unsaved friends because they're going to have those friends that come along and whisper in their ear, wow, is that what you really believe? You mean you really believe those stories in the Bible? You really believe that fantasy that Jesus Christ, he came and died for our sin? You really believe that? Oh, how? And they will bring to the young people's ears and bring to their attention those doubts and try to cast doubt. Because, see, that's what the enemy does. Hello? And he will use their friends to do this. Oh, yes, he will. And so, again, that's why it's so important, so very, very important that we as parents and grandparents and those that have influence over their children, that we are training them up as we're raising them in our household. You may have children that are young adults or those that are are grown, maybe even in out of the house, but you may also have your grandchildren that you have access to. Well, you have a responsibility to your grandchildren as well to be able to teach them and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to teach them the word of God. Our young people and apostasy from the church should be a concern of every Christian parent and every church leader as well. We as pastors, we need to be able to know that we have programs in place and times where we certainly teach the young adults within and the children within our congregations and teach them the word of God, not just entertain them, but also teach them of God's word. You know, here's a quote by Charles Spurgeon, and he said it this way, and it just kind of made an impact on me. It says, as church leaders, we must be focused on feeding the sheep and not entertaining the goats. So very true. We have a responsibility. Jesus said, he says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So then what do you do if you maybe have messed up? Hello? You know, we all make mistakes. What if you do if maybe you hadn't spent as much time as you had liked as you were raising your son or raising your daughter, and now they are out there in the world, and they may not be equipped, and you may see them drawing away or not fully focused in on the word of God or the biblical principles that you would like for them to have and to be able to stand on in their young adult life. What do you do? Well, first and foremost, you've got to pray. You've got to know how to pray. You continue to lift them up in the name of the Lord and lift them up in your time of prayer. You can't beat them over the head with the word of God. You can't beat them over the head with the Bible. But because guess what? If you try to do it that way, they're going to put up their defenses. But what you certainly can do is you can pray. That's first and foremost. The next thing that you can do is to continue to share the word of God with them. See, our young people, they're going to come to you. There was a time when I heard someone say that when your young people, when you talk to them, they may not want to listen, but when they come to you to talk to you, you need to drop everything and give them your full attention. You need to listen because the window of opportunity is open. And so training them up and being able to speak forth the word of God into their lives, that doesn't stop when they step outside or leave your home. They're still, they may be your adult children, but you need to, in every situation and circumstance, if they come to you and ask you, well, Mom, what do you think about this? You need to be able to share the word of God, biblically share the word of God with them. Give your own testimony of how God has kept you. The word of God tells us, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That works with our families as well. So you need to be able to study the word of God. Study it with them. Learn it with them. Be able to share scriptures with them. Encourage them to study the word of God. As you pray and study the word of God, it's also very important that you live the word of God. You model it before them. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. You've got to be assured yourself of what you believe in order for your children and your children's children to benefit from the blessings of God and what you believe, to pass on to them of what they should believe where God is concerned. You need to teach them. How do you teach them? As I said, by living the word, but also to sharing the word of God with them. While they're still in your household, the word of God tells us that you teach them in their going out and in their coming in and their lying down and in their rising up. You teach them. You don't exasperate them, because there's a scripture that talks about fathers, don't exasperate them in the love and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And more, and yes, that's a key element, to love them. Love them where they are, no matter what it looks like. You love your children where they are until God brings them to where he wants them to be. That's so vital. Because, see, no matter what, God is love. He didn't walk away from us while we were in our sins. He didn't walk away from us when things looked difficult. He didn't walk away from us when it looked as if we were going in the opposite direction. Son went and he splurged and used all of his father's money and his inheritance and was out there just living with riotous living, it said. But then he came to himself. And when he came to himself and he figured out, you know what? Oh, my goodness, the servants at my dad's house are living better than I am. And he came to himself and he started back towards home. And then as his father saw him afar off, he didn't go inside and say, okay, let me lock up all the doors because I see him coming. You know, and I know I can look at him and tell that he's raggedy and that he's been out there in the world and he hasn't been doing what I told him that he should do, and he took all the money and wasted it. He did not condemn him. Oh, no. Just as Jesus Christ did with us when he found us in our sins. That father ran to his son and he embraced him. Why? Because of love. God is love. And so therefore, that's what we must do with our young people. Don't give up on them. Continue to keep them lifted up in prayer. Continue to be that model before them and live out the word of God in your own life. Continue to pray and speak the word of God over them. For we know that our God, he never fails. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to open up the line. Praise God. I'd like for you to join in tonight into this conversation. If you have some questions, this is the opportunity to ask them. If you have comments and words of encouragement, this is the opportunity to share. Go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. You may be able to share something that will help to benefit someone else on the line tonight. Praise God. Is there one? Go ahead and press 1 on your dial pad. We'd love to hear from you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Caller number 4294, praise God. Minister Gretchen Manley. Minister Manley, how are you tonight?
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor. Thank you so much. That word is powerful. I mean, you masterfully have let that word out and laid everything so eloquently out. You have touched on every base. You really immensely helped us as a people tonight. I just want to thank you so much for that. But I have one question. I know you as a pastor. Yes. There are many reasons children or young adults walk away from God and are varied, just as individuals are varied. But are there any things or any actions that we as a church, as Christian community can do to help them when they're wrestling through the tough questions in life and living, you know, beyond this borrowed faith, you know, and something that we can give them, what would you suggest that would make them stay strong in this world where there's so much of tremendous pressures against them? And thank you.
Amen, amen. Great question. And thank you for your words of encouragement. Thank you for that question tonight. And yes, more than anything, we need to stay available and open to our children, to our young people, biological children and those that come to us. And when I say remain open, that means keep the lines of communication open. Let them know if they have questions that they can come to us and that they can. And when they come, take the time to listen to what they have to say. You may not always agree, but nevertheless, we can listen. We can lovingly listen, and we can provide the guidance of the Word of God to them. I think that is more than would be more valuable than anything, to be able for them to know that no matter what, I know I can go to my mom. I know I can go to my dad. I even have my nieces and nephews sometimes. They will call me to ask questions. They have their parents, but they will call me to ask questions because they know that I'm going to give them what thus says the Lord. And so as we know that they can stand on the Word of God, we know the Word of God, yes, is inerrant. And so therefore, we have to be able to be available to them. And I believe that that will be more of a support than anything else, to show love, be available to them, and be able to share with them the Word of God. Praise God. Caller 0400, Mother Pat, praise God. Go right ahead tonight. Good evening, Mother Pat. How are you?
I'm doing fine, and it was a very good topic that you spoke on. And it's very encouraging. As you know, I've just experienced what you were talking about because I had my great-grandson, which was 14 years old, unchurched.
Mm-hmm.
And we pulled seeds, the Word of God, into him like you were drinking water. We didn't push it down on him, but he was curious. And sometimes those kids do a comparison from where they come from and what they're in at this time. Because he did a lot of comparison how he was with his dad. And then he come here, it was totally different. Whereas instead of cursing and carrying on, we taught him how to handle the Word of God. Like when he escalated his, we gave him examples of what the Word of God say. Soft answer, turn away wrath. We demonstrated it to him that you don't have to go head and head, because if you go head and head with them, you're not going to get nowhere with them. They done shut you down, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stare with them and explain on their level, also some way or another mix the Word of God into that conversation. And like if it's one parent, or like here was my daughter and myself, he was so amazed that if he went to her before he came to me, then he went to her, she gave him the answer, then he come to me and it was the same answer. He was just like, y'all both say the same thing. So in other words, what I'm saying, parents got to be consistent. If they're going to parent, mother and father, be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. Be on the same accord of what answer you're going to give that child. And then they have to see realness. They don't want to see the children these days. They want to know, are you real? Are you really living that? Are you just telling me
that's
that?
Right.
They got to see it in order to begin to form their own view of, well, maybe it's better if I trust God. And then when little things happen to them, and they come back and say, well, if I would have did it like this, it would have been better. And you just compare with the word. Your decisions that you make has consequences. Now, I always like to tell when I was doing my forfeiture, I always would tell them that scripture. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And when you do this with them, don't get off of it. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't, well, like the old folks say, wishy-washy. You got to do what you say you're going to do and stick to your guns or stick to the word that you say, and because otherwise they're going to say, well, I got away with that. She just lying. And that's what they run in their mind. So anyway, Pastor, that's a very good word, an encouraging word to parents. We got to stop being friends, not only mother and father, grandmother, great-grandmother, whoever God allowed to be in that child's life. Even it could be a strange child that somehow or another took a liking to you. You still got to do the same for them as well as you do for your own. All right. Well, I'm through. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Mother Pat. And yes, as Mother Pat shared, it's very, very important that we take our rightful positions as parents. You know, it's, we can't be there trying to guide our children and then out doing the same things that they're doing out in the world. It just does not work like that. First of all, God didn't call us to be their running buddy. He called us to be their parents. And so with that, we have to provide them the guidance and the direction that they need. And I will speak also to just briefly to the importance of godly order in the household, godly order in the household. You know, that if you're in a household where you have the father and the mother and the child, you need to make sure that your house is aligned according to the word of God. And if you if you have the father that's supposed to be the head of the household, the priest of the household, the mother that is supposed to come and help to stand and support and undergird the father, and the child that is supposed to be reverencing both and being obedient to both of the parents, that is very important that your house is in godly order if you expect for the blessings of God to be upon your house. And also, too, you may ask, well, what happens if that's not possible, if that maybe that the one parent is not living according to the word of God? And if that's so, then back again to prayer. Hello? Prayer changes things. Prayer changes everything. And you can pray and you can depend on God. And then as you pray and depend on God to be faithful again to his word, you standing on his word and you are able to speak forth his word, then with that, you have to be able to know and believe that God is going to answer your prayers. Oh, yes, he will. So don't get weary in your prayers. Don't get weary in well-doing, but continue to stand on the word of God. Well, we have a few more minutes left into the broadcast, and I want to make sure if there is anyone on this line tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Oh, you can't teach it to your children if you don't know them yourself. You've got to be able to have that commitment and believe and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that if we but confess with our mouth and believe in our heart upon Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. It's just as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I ask you to come into my life.
I believe that you are the Son of the living God, that you came to this earth, that you lived, died, and was resurrected for my sins. I ask you to come into my life, take charge of my life forever, for the rest of my life. And if you prayed but that simple prayer, we welcome you tonight into the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, I tell you that there is nothing like living, hallelujah, for Almighty God and giving your life to him. He will come in and he will make the rough places smooth and he will open doors for you and he will, yes, 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 save your children. Oh, yes, he will. So continue to, as I share, pray, study the word of God, live out the word of God, teach it to your children, lying down, rising, going in and coming out, and praise God. The blessings of God will be upon you, your life, and your household for generations to come. That is a promise from God. Hallelujah. I pray that this program has been a blessing to you tonight. Oh, we have one other. Praise God. Caller number 3258. Caller 3258. Elder Matty Green, I'm listening to you. Go right ahead.
I enjoyed you. Amen. Yes, how you doing tonight? God bless. I enjoy the word that you were teaching tonight about the youth, because
Amen.
There are so many churches or organizations that are teaching the youth one thing, and the things
mm-hmm.
that kept us grounded, they
yes.
are not using that as a foundation for the children, but whatever tickled their ear, that's what they're
mm-hmm.
using, so that when they get ready to face the hardest things in their life, they don't know how to handle it. So I'm so
mm-hmm.
glad that you taught that word, that Minister Mother Pat Galloway, that she added some more to the cake, and it was needed, because sometimes the children get hurt in the church. And if there
mm-hmm.
is no healing while they hurt in the church, they can carry that all the way to the adult life, because they think that's the way they're going to be treated by anybody
mm-hmm.
else in the church. And like you said, we got to show the real love to them. That, yes,
yes.
sometimes you will get hurt, but we got to tell them how to get healed and what to believe in. And then sometimes the youth put all of their faith and trust in certain people in the church. And then when those people, it may be even a pastor or whoever, and they seem like they don't pay much attention to them, it caused their mental state to think like they were just talking good stuff to me now, but they're really not paying attention. Children are
mm-hmm.
so watchful about
oh,
how
yes, they are.
Things are done in the church, how we
mm-hmm.
act in the church, and how we act when we're not in the church. So I'm so glad
mm-hmm.
that you taught that and brought that out. I wish many more people were listening to that, so that would help them to remember when they were young and remember that this is a different generation. So we need to
yes.
be accountable how we handle certain things. And when we make a mistake, hey, go to them and let them know, I made a mistake. Humble yourself to them.
That's
Show
right.
them that much, so that when they
mm-hmm.
make a mistake, they don't mind humbling their self to it. So I thank you very much. I'm going to get off the thing. I just enjoyed it. God bless you, Pastor.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Elder Green, for those words of encouragement. And those comments, that is so, so very true. And let me also, before I close out, say this. Show love and also show forgiveness. We have to know how to forgive when that there are those that may make mistakes, even when our children make mistakes. Just as Elder Green said, if we make a mistake, we go forth and we apologize to them for that. That teaches them as well of what they should do when they make mistakes. But also, too, I cannot stress the importance of forgiveness as well. Because, see, hey, Jesus Christ, he forgave us while we were yet in our sins. Ha, that's what the word of God says, while we were yet in our sins. He didn't wait till we thought we had cleaned ourselves up. No, while we were yet in our sins, he died for us. So I pray again that these words have been edifying to you. Go forth this week. Continue to love your family. Love on your children, even your adult children. Pray for them. Let them know that you are praying for them. And we give God all the praise, honor, and glory. Have a wonderful and blessed night. In Jesus' name. Love you. God bless.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Let's
take it up one more time. Every praise. Come on, everybody.
To our God.
worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight.